And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2, the words of Paul, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. The Lord Jesus Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Can anything more wonderful be imagined? That God himself, as the hymn says, contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man, that such should come to bear iniquity of sinful men and women. Fullness of the Godhead. But in the body we see Christ, we see God. He therefore must have the preeminence. He must have, in the life of a church, in the preaching of the gospel, in the worship of its members, in our private lives, he, the Lord Jesus Christ, must have preeminence. Paul was converted in such a way as there was no possibility of his desiring anything but Christ. That change in his life was unlooked for, but the Lord chose to come of sovereign grace to him, to no other, because thou hast prepared him for that work. And thou didst save him from his sins, and he loved thee, and he knew he would always love thee, and he determined to preach that glorious gospel of Christ. I think that those who have succeeded his time can't quite reach those high standards. Many of us are called to be preachers and have been down the years, and it would be very difficult for most of us to say, I knew nothing among you except the Lord Jesus Christ, because we do talk about other things. And it might be considered a bit of a bore if all I talked about to you was the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul's days were limited, and it was the early days of the gospel. He didn't know how many different people he could reach. He tried to go where no one else had been before him. And he desired, above all, that he should take the gospel. But at the heart of the lives of every believer, our whole lives are governed by the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't see things as we did. We seek his guidance. Seeing that he made all things, we seek his help when learning or when the fullness of our career, we make those decisions and those important things that we have to do. The Lord Jesus Christ is our all in all. But we do our work and we do talk about other things. But we must, as best we can, seek to live among people as those who desire most of all that they should be saved. I determined not to know anything among you. It was a determination of the mind of Paul that when he came to the people at Corinth, when he began to preach the gospel, this would be his sole testimony. He didn't always act quite like that. He always put Jesus first. But when he was preaching in Athens, as you know, he didn't proclaim the gospel quite so obviously. He did take argument with the philosophers of that day. But on the whole, he didn't do that. And on the whole, it is not the best way for most of us. But when he came to be preaching at Corinth, Paul determined not to know anything among you except one thing, except Jesus Christ. We live in a world where the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is scarcely mentioned seriously. His name, of course, is taken in vain, but the preaching of the gospel in this country of ours needs to be made so plain and so powerful that we must be determined to do it. I haven't watched a television program for ages, but I remember when I used to watch the quiz programs, and these intelligent men were on the program. They didn't know any Bible answers ever that I can remember. And that goes for all strata of our society. So we do need to speak of, to preach of, the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes, of course, people react badly to what we say, and we think, oh, we shouldn't have spoken then. But we do not know that afterwards they may have great cause to bless every memory of that time that we did speak to them. They may have reacted badly, things may have gone wrong with them, and perhaps the Lord very graciously will put into their minds year after what they heard from us. We would like to see an immediate response, of course. So Paul determined, as we desire to determine, not to know anything except the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing of greater importance, nothing of greater need to be made known to people, nothing to be taught more than the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. The name Jesus Christ was new to the Gentiles. They didn't know who Christ was, the anointed of God. They didn't know that Jesus meant Saviour. And these things they had to be taught. They had to be taught, as Luke tells us, that they had to be taught. Many people had put in mind to write the gospel records, but Luke was one of those who was chosen for his record to be permanent. And the Lord Jesus Christ's life, and his sayings and his doings need to be made known. But in all the preaching, there is one thing that he desired should be emphasized and never left out. And that was the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. That when he died on the cross, that was the only way given among men to make atonement for the sins of the people. Now, when Paul said to the jailer at Philippi, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved," that is absolutely right. And many people have been saved by that verse. And many people have been saved without understanding anything about Christ at all, except that the Holy Spirit has directed them to him and they've knew it was right to cast their love upon him. But the time must soon come when they know why they did that, what the Lord Jesus came for, how it was that the Lord, the Father, introduced salvation into the world. "I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." In English and in Greek, the word "and" can mean three things. It can mean "also," and it can mean "even." In Greek, the word "and" would mean "and" perhaps 80% of the time. And perhaps another 15% of the time, it would mean "also." Rarely, but from time to time, it would mean even, perhaps 5% of the time. And if you look here, you see this is one of those places where even perhaps would make in more immediate sense, though and may arrest our attention. Because you may say, see, that I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Initially you might think to yourself, oh, we're the two people. We're the Jesus Christ and the one who was crucified. But of course here the word and means even. I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ. Even. Him crucified, where the meaning, of course, is also that it is particularly that emphasis of the life of the Lord Jesus that is absolutely crucial. If we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then our faith will have no content until we learn a little more. It's very interesting. For example, when Paul was preaching to the Philippian jailer, and when he said to him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all your family, and thou shalt be saved, he then spent a long time immediately after instructing the jailer and his family. So, although that's the thing that you preach, you direct people to the Lord Jesus Christ, whether they're children, or whether they're not very intelligent, perhaps mental troubles even, it may be sufficient that they be directed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Might be sufficient under the Lord's wonderful providence to bring those to him who will never learn much more. And of course we don't need to know in absolute terms what the Lord or how the Lord has done it if he's shown us that we are among those that he died to save. But in normal circumstances, it isn't enough for a person to grow in faith just to say, I'm a Christian, I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ existed. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, I'm saved. That is not the gospel. It does bring formal Christianity. It brings lands that say they are Christian. And it brings, of course, that many people, many lands that go by the name of Christians and they're persecuted. And they die, but they're not believing. So, the thing that Paul wanted to teach the Corinthians, and of course here, because the gospel is to be preached in this way to all nations at all times, it is about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the absolute key thing. He goes on to tell us in this very letter, by the time he gets to chapter 15, that the resurrection is a part of this gospel, death and resurrection. But it's death that makes atonement for our sins. To understand that the death of Christ makes atonement for our sins means that, first of all, the Holy Spirit has to convince us, perhaps by our preaching and our teaching, that we are sinners. Why do we need salvation? Many people will say that very thing today. I don't need to be saved. I'm all right. What's it all about anyway? So we need to teach people, preach to people, the law, the Old Testament law. We need to teach them the Ten Commandments. We need to teach them other things, even things that Christ said, a new commandment give I unto you, that you love one another. First of all, then, we have to show men and women preaching the gospel that they are sinners. The Holy Spirit then creates in their lives a sense of unease, a sense of conviction that they are sinners. They may deny it. There's a word in the scripture, elinka, and I was taught when I was a boy that it meant confute. As a boy, I thought, confute? Never heard of it. We normally think of it nowadays, I suppose. We wouldn't use the word very much, but we use it of being convicted of sin. But the word confuting is a translation of that word convicting, is a wonderful word. It's a legal term, and it's cross-examination. That's what's being pictured here. And here's somebody who in court says, not guilty. Were you not at the place? No, never anywhere near it. And bit by bit, under cross-examination and the introducing of evidence, bit by bit, he's shown to be definitely guilty. Hasn't got a leg he stands on, can stand on. And that whole movement is called confuting. Step by step, you bring somebody who is resisting, denying, saying that he was there when he wasn't there, saying that he didn't do this, creating an alibi, saying he wasn't with somebody. Whatever it is, he's confuted by the mounting evidence. So the evidence of Scripture that we are sinners. The convicting, if you like, of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, corresponding with that, that we are sinners. This is crucial to the preaching of the gospel. And when Paul was preaching and he said he determined to know nothing save Jesus Christ and him crucified at that, you see, and him crucified, he needed to explain, as he does in his letters, why Christ needed to die. And then he needed to explain why it needed to be crucifixion. Strangulation was not by blood. Crucifixion was a death that fulfilled the Lord's plan. With by blood is the remission of sins. By the shedding of blood is the remission of sins. And so the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, but a bit more. Who was this man who died? And so folks need to be taught that this Lord Jesus Christ, who looked exactly like a man and was exactly a man, was yet the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And they would have to be taught that it didn't make him less than a man because he was also God. It didn't mean he was less God because he was also man. It is not true to say that he was not a man like us because he was God. He was a man like us. He was the representative man. He was what man should have been if they'd not sinned. But they need to be taught this. The Lord Jesus Christ, who died on Calvary, had the authority to forgive sins as God, but also bore in his own body, because he was human, being sinless, the sins of all those who would believe in him. So you see, there's much to preach in Jesus Christ and him crucified. And then the anger of God. It is, if you were in the presence of someone important, let's say a head teacher at school, perhaps an ordinary teacher, your boss at work or somebody like that, and he says, please do this for me, and you say, no, won't. That is about as insulting as you can get. And to say to the living God, when you know the commandments, when you have the moral understanding inside you, that there are things that you should or shouldn't do, and not to do them is snubbing God. And just like treason is the greatest sin, you may dishonor your country and nobody much may know about it. But if you dishonor the king directly to his face, thinking of old days particularly, then it's off with his head. And so there is no sin worse. We think of moral sins as being bad and they're dreadful. But there is no sin that outstrips not doing what God tells us to do. Being disobedient to the Lord himself. The Lord who made this world, the Lord who's decided which way it's to work. And we say no. And we need to teach that. And Jesus needed to, sorry, and Paul needed to teach that about the Lord Jesus Christ. That men were sinners. And it was in this way that they had sinned. So as God he would forgive when he paid the price as man. There was no mingling of his nature. He was fully God. He was fully man. They didn't in any way mingle, but they both coexisted in the same body. So here was this Lord Jesus Christ, a unique man, a man provided by God, a sufficient sin saviour for sinners, one who himself was from the Middle East and therefore could not be said to be either Western or Southern or Northern or Far Eastern. He was a man who never owned any property, had no one to lay his head, and therefore could be said to be very sympathetic, is not the word I really want, but to those who had not. The very wealthy loved him because he brought to them spiritual riches beyond Christ. But these are some of the things about the Lord Jesus Christ, that in order that he might preach Jesus Christ and crucifixion to people's hearts as the thing that God has done to bear the sin of the curse of the earth, the curse because of man's disobedience. Jesus crucified. It's not unless we understand it, many people may not understand it, but we want to go on to understand about Jesus crucifying. That there our sins were atoned for. There they were paid for. He has come from Almighty God that we may come by him into the presence of Almighty God. And then he would need to speak about resurrection. Because crucifixion of itself is a dismal ending. If there was nothing more than crucifixion, then our faith would be in vain. Well, faith can we have in life if the Saviour is dead? But he substituted for us. And he has been raised from the dead that we might know that we are to go to be with him forever. And therefore we shall be raised from the dead. So when Paul says, I desire to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and his crucifixion in particular, there's a whole package of things that need to be taught as part and parcel of that. When you read the book of Acts, you do notice that they spent a lot of time learning the scriptures, learning the significance of them, learning the significance of the gospel. It wasn't as if the Philippian jailer just had that, believe in the gospel, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. And that was all he ever heard. He had 3 hours instruction probably, something like that then, to say nothing of anything that followed. And of course the Lord has given the church that the gospel may be preached among us with the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ at the very centre. Christ is at the centre and his crucifixion is the central work, the thing he came to achieve, the thing he did achieve. And therefore we must be taught many things to believe in him. I was nearly 16 when I was saved. And when I heard the gospel preached, I just simply remembered latching on to the fact that Jesus Christ is a saviour. I wanted to be saved. I was prepared to yield my life to him. It came about like that. But it wasn't long before I wanted to know more about this Lord Jesus Christ. Why should he be interested in me? Why should he be desired to save me? Why was the preaching in the church? What were all these things for? And it wasn't long as I read the Bible and as I heard the weekly preaching that I understood how the Lord had achieved the salvation which he brought me to believe. It isn't always necessarily to know before what he has done. The gospel may be preached freely to those who know nothing, and they may believe truly. They throw their lives upon Jesus Christ in that moment. No, they'll always be his because the Spirit draws them. And then not long after, these important things become part of their lives. It is difficult ground if you say that unless we believe the gospel before we're saved, we can't be saved. Whosoever will may come. We may believe the gospel before we understand what the Lord Jesus did. Indeed, I think we can say of all the Old Testament Christians that though they were saved through Christ or through Jesus the Christ, they may only have known him as the Christ, the Messiah. They didn't know how he had achieved altogether the salvation which they obtained. It was Paul's great desire, because of the necessity of the Corinthians, that he should preach the Lord Jesus Christ, that he should preach the centrality of his work, but that in doing it all, as we see from this letter and the next one, that he should teach many other things for their instruction as well. Many of them were received into the church whose behavior hadn't been thoroughly changed, else we wouldn't have got all the information we've got about their bad behavior in the letters. But the Lord works wonderfully. He works cautiously, if you like, not in the sense that he doesn't know what we're like, but on our behalf, he works slowly and one thing at a time. And for many people who've never been to church, perhaps you'll never have the opportunity to go to church again, as has often happened, they need to know what we would call the minimum thing, that the Lord Jesus Christ is to be believed in. But in most cases, the Lord is gracious and then instructs those who've committed themselves to him in those very things. Now, it may be if you've been taught these things from childhood, you know all these things that you're committing to when you turn to love the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul determined to know nothing save Jesus Christ and him crucified. He brings us all by different routes, but he brings us to himself. He brings us all at different ages with different understandings, but he brings us to himself. And a thorough understanding of the scriptures is his desire for us all, that we might learn the things that belong to our salvation and to our peace. May it be that Jesus Christ crucified and risen from the dead is our all in all. Amen.